There are moments when you can feel the world deciding what version of you it intends to permit, not by proclamation, by adjustment. This is record 13, filed after my return from the second sight. I am not recording this to persuade. I am recording it because persuasion is not my function. Sequence is, and the sequence has changed. When I returned to the city, I did not go first to my rooms. I did not go first to the archive. I went where consequences gather before they become policy. The council does not invite drama. It receives reports. Reports are safer than stories until they are not. I brought three things with me, not trophies, not proof, three forms of residue, a vial, a damaged case, and a set of notes, written too quickly to be elegant, and too carefully to be dismissed. The rest of what happened cannot be placed on a table. It can only be said aloud. And saying aloud is where risk begins. They were already assembled when I entered, not in ceremony, in readiness. The air in that chamber is always heavy. But tonight it held a different tension, like a bow drawn and held without release. I spoke the facts, not the temptation of them, not the meaning my mind wants to attach, only the pattern, a structure engineered to endure. Emptiness that did not look like decay, a concealment that required deliberate workmanship. An artifact that behaved as sound once, and then chose to become matter. I did not embellish, I did not need to. Dragons do not react the way people do. There is no gasp. No exchanged look that can be read easily. Reaction with them is measured in what they do not ask. Tonight, no one asked for the exact route. No one asked how long I lingered. No one asked whether I was afraid instead. They asked questions that reveal where power is worried. How was the object contained? What materials touched it? Did the artifact respond to proximity or to mechanism? Was the reaction local to the case? Or did it alter the structure around it? They were not curious in the ordinary sense. They were calculating exposure. An elder spoke first, though not immediately. When the elder dragons speak, it is rarely to add information. It is to define what the room is allowed to become. The elder voice did not deny what I reported. It did not confirm it either. It did something else, more subtle, more dangerous. It accepted the event as possible. And in that acceptance, I heard restraint. Not restraint from anger, restraint from escalation. As if the true risk was not what happened. But how many people might learn that it can happen? One of the younger dragons moved barely. A shift of posture that, in a smaller creature, would have meant nothing. Here, it meant impatience. The younger voice pressed for a clean conclusion, a label, a cause, a rule to put back on the shelf. The elder voice did not grant it. Instead, the elder delivered boundaries, in the language the council prefers. Proceed. Do not return to the second site without renewed authorization. Do not attempt additional containment of unknown media in standard cases. Do not seek activation through experimentation. Do not enter sanctums. They did not call the artifact a weapon. They did not call it a message. They treated it like an infection. You must not spread by curiosity. Then came the part that matters most. They altered my permission. Not rescinded. Not expanded. Adjusted. The new authorization carried the same symbol. But its geometry felt different. Tighter. As if fewer futures were being allowed to exist at once. I was granted access to continue to the next designated site, but with additional handling, strictures written into the authorization itself. The council did not tell me why. They rarely do, but the fact that they wrote the restrictions into the seal. Rather than speaking them as advice, is the closest thing to fear I have yet seen in that chamber. Fear, not of me, but of what responds when the past is disturbed. When I left, I expected relief. Instead, I felt a new kind of pressure. The weight of being the only person in the capital, carrying an event that cannot be reproduced. The council has a way of making you feel alone even when you are permitted. It is not cruelty. It is containment by isolation. If a thing is dangerous, you do not let it become communal. You let it become personal. I went to the archive afterward, not to declare victory, not to accuse anyone, to do what I have always done. File what can be filed, stabilize what can be stabilized. Make sure the residue does not disappear, simply because it is inconvenient. At the intake threshold, a clerk I have known for years greeted me with the same words as always, but did not take the cases from my hands. A small thing. So small that, in any other life, it would not deserve mention. He waited for a second clerk, a second signature, a second witness, then a third. No one said we do not approve. No one needed to. The archive has quieter methods for disagreement. It does not shout, it delays. I filed the vial as material residue. I filed the damaged case as equipment failure under anomalous conditions. I filed my notes as field observations, provisional. And when I asked where the record of these entries would be kept, the answer came too quickly. Under review. Review by whom? I asked. The clerk did not know, or did not say. He simply repeated the phrase, as if it were a shelf label. Continuity. Tonight. I understand something I have avoided understanding. The council will allow me to continue, because stopping me would be an admission. The archive will resist me, because allowing me to continue would be a fracture. Between those forces, I am permitted to move, as long as movement can be controlled. I do not know yet how far that control extends, but I have learned this. When something sings once and turns to dust, it is not merely hiding, it is defending itself from being known twice. This is Record 13, filed under Aftermath. And the city is still lit. But it feels as if certain halls have begun to watch which way I walk.